Today on Brave, Jeff Schwarzentraub introduces the concept of discipleship.
It's just the fact about Jesus. He created everything. He created the whole universe. He created it all. And he's telling you, I need to be in control because I know what I'm doing. And so the question then becomes for us, how do we know that we're remaining under the authority of Christ? Like, how do I know that I've shifted my allegiance? How do I know that I'm truly a disciple and I'm growing in Christ?
Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Schwarzentraub, founder and lead pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. Today on Brave, Pastor Jeff continues a message about spiritual transformation called discipleship. He's describing the pivotal shift every Christian needs to make to move from selfishness to surrender. But before Christ can take control of our lives, we must first be willing to let go. We're learning to trust God at a whole other level. But before we get started with today's lesson, just want to make sure you know you can find all of these messages, if you'd like to listen another time, at bravemedia.online. Now, here's Pastor Jeff with today's message, Selfishness to Surrender.
Jesus gives us a mandate. After he was risen from the dead, he made an appointment with his disciples in Galilee, some 60 miles north of Jerusalem, and invited them all to meet him there. And there he gave what we refer to as the Great Commission, because what Jesus' plan was is to use his disciples, those that were gathered with him there, and all of us who are called by the name of Jesus Christ, to be used in this mission of making disciples of other people as well. We're going to talk about six different foundational choices we're going to make over the next 6 weeks. And these are choices that are ongoing in our life so that we are disciples and so that we're actually making disciples of other people as well. And so to do that today, I want to take a look at foundational choice number one. And to do that, I invite you to open your Bible to Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 27. Matthew chapter 16, 24 through 27. Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of his Father with his angels and will then repay every man according to his deeds." Foundational choice number one is this: choose to surrender to Christ's authority. Choose to surrender to Christ's authority. Jesus said he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You're choosing to surrender to Christ's authority. You need to choose to align your allegiance under his authority. That's what we're going to talk about. Now, you're going to ask the question, how do I know if I'm under Christ's authority? It's a great question. That's what Jesus is going to unpack for us today in this text. How do I know that I'm surrendered to him? That's foundational choice number one. Now, let me tell you something. You miss this, you miss it all. Right? And that's what's going on. You can't skirt this. You can't miss this. There are rules that are set up by Jesus' authority. Just like in society, there's rules that are set up by our authority and our government. A couple months ago, I was coming to church, and if you're ever out on Colorado and Hamden during the week, you'll understand it's a very busy intersection. As a matter of fact, in the mornings when I come in on Hamden, it's usually backed up all the way back to that Lutheran church. And so, I don't know if you noticed this, but there's like a middle lane that's got dots on it that's aligned. And if you just kind of get into that turn lane down by the Lutheran church, you can zoom by all the traffic, and you don't have to get stopped by anybody. And because the light to turn on to Colorado doesn't wait very long, I mean, I've done that for a long time. That's how I get to church. Well, apparently, it's not legal. Because about 2 months ago, as I was turning onto Colorado, I saw police lights behind me, and I'm thinking, was that me? It couldn't be me. I don't know if I did anything wrong. And the guy in front of me turned off, and sure enough, he's right on my tail. So I thought to myself, I'm pulling into church to see if he has the guts to give me a ticket here. And so I pulled into the church and went to get out of my car. He said, "Stay in your car, sir." I said, "Well, I work here." And he said, "I know, stay in your car." I said, "Well, good, I got that in." Well, he came back and he said, "Do you know what you did wrong?" And I was like, "I kind of have an idea." But he's like, "You went down the turn lane." I said, "Well, I turned." He's like, "Yeah, but you can't stay in that lane that long." And he goes, "I'm just going to let you off with a warning." I said, "Thank you very much." I said, "I'll let all our staff know because I'm sure they do the same thing too. It's not just me." And told them all. And he said, you might want to consider coming a back road or doing whatever. So I haven't done that since. Why? Because it's a rule. Now, here's what he went on to tell me. It's not just a rule. It's a rule for a reason. He's like, I'm telling you this because you don't know the amount of car accidents I've seen because of people doing what you do. Because other people that are turning the other way, they can't see that you're in the middle lane, and it may not even be you, but it'd be somebody else, and I'm doing it for your own safety. I'm like, okay, I get it. It's for my own safety. It's for the good of the community. I understand the rule now because why? Because I have a relationship, right? And that's what this is all about. So when Jesus is talking about his authority, he's inviting you under the umbrella of his authority, not because he's trying to be authoritarian. It's just the fact about Jesus. He created everything. He created the whole universe. He created it all, and he's telling you, I need to be in control because I know what I'm doing. And so the question then becomes for us, how do we know that we're remaining under the authority of Christ? Like, how do I know that I've shifted my allegiance? How do I know that I'm truly a disciple and I'm growing in Christ? And this is what Jesus spells out. He says he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. So let's unpack those three together. The first is this, to deny yourself. It means this. It means you choose to remain ruthless with yourself. If you're a disciple, you're going to choose to remain ruthless with yourself. Now, what ruthless means, without compassion or pity or mercy, it means that you're going to be strict about you. You say, well, how do I do that? Here's how. You treat yourself the way you would talk about other Christians. I mean, have you ever noticed that in your heart, whether you verbalize it out loud, sometimes you look at other Christians like, oh, they call themselves a Christian and they have a marriage like that. They call themselves a Christian and they have kids that are unruly like that. Hey, they call themselves Christians and they drink like that. They call themselves Christians and they eat like that. They call themselves Christians and they spend like that. They call themselves Christians and they idolize their time like that. They call themselves Christians. Instead of doing that, here's what Jesus invites us to do. Take that, turn it into a mirror and put it right in front of yourself. It means I'm going to be ruthless with me to make sure that in every area of my life, Jesus has all authority. So think about your life for a minute. Think about all the different components of your life. Think about the relationships you have, if you're married, if you have children, parents. I mean, there's a relationship component. There's avocations. What do you like doing for fun? There's your finances. There's your health. There's all sorts of different components that we have in our life. Here's the question. Is Jesus Christ Lord over every single one of those components? Because here's the reality. He wants to be. He wants to be. I mean, the key word here for this whole text is denial. It's deny. Deny. Now, everything in our world says it's about you. It's about you. It's about you. It's what you want. It's what you want. And when you fail, here's what people will tell you. It's all about you. You failed. You, you, you. It's all about you. In the kingdom, it's all about Jesus. And are you in a place that you're willing to deny yourself? Because it's not about you. It's kind of like this. Recently, we purchased a different home, sold our home, purchased a different home. And if I invited you to my house, I would tell you about my home. I'd like you to come to my house. My house, or you know, I'll pick you up in my car. Here's the reality. In reality, it's not my house. I mean, it's probably like a lot of you that are here. I pay a mortgage every month to have my house. The bank owns their house. The bank could say it's my house. We're allowing you to steward the house so long as you continue to give us your mortgage payment every single month. It's not your house. The bank would say it's my house. Here's what Jesus would say: everything you have. Your body, your resources, your relationships, your influence, everything you are, it's not yours. It's his. Here's the question. Has it come under the allegiance of him? Because here's what we have a hard time doing. So say you're married and there's a challenge in your marriage, which if you're married at some point in time, there will be a challenge in your marriage. That's a great place for an amen. Amen. All right, so what we tend to do when we have a challenge in our marriage, we say, well, I'm going to work on that. I need to work on that. There's some things I need to work on, which is a good thing. I mean, all these things are good things. I need to pray about my marriage. I need to study God's word about marriage. I need to get a mentor, somebody that really knows how to do this for my marriage. Perhaps I need to get some biblical soul care for my marriage. And I would tell you all those things have their place and they're all good if and only if, first and foremost, you recognize it's not your marriage. And if and only if the counseling and the mentoring and what God's word is saying will tell you what you need to be, even if it doesn't result in the outcome that you want. I mean, I've done counseling for 30 years in ministry, and I can tell you comparatively few times where people come in and say, hey, listen, I got a challenge in my marriage. I don't know what my spouse's challenge is. I think I do, but I need you to deal with me. I want to know what God says about me. I'm willing to change anything Jesus wants to in me. Those are so fun counseling sessions. Because all I got to do is open up my Bible to Ephesians 5 and other places, and I can help you. Here's what God says you need to be as a husband. Here's what God says you need to be as a wife. I can pour that in because God will tell you what you need to be. If you need help with your finances, I can open God's word all over the place and show you how to help your finances. If and only if you're willing to deny yourself. Because if you're not willing to deny yourself, what you're going to say is, yeah, but that's not the outcome I want. That's not what I want in my marriage to be. That's not what I want in my financial outlook to be. That's not what if it's what you want and not what Jesus wants, it doesn't work. There has to be denial of self. And when you get under the allegiance of Christ, here's what happens. You begin to read God's word differently. It's not, well, God suggests this. This is a good idea. It means this. I want whatever God wants. It means when you hear a sermon like this, you're processing, what is God saying specifically to me that I need to do? If you can come month after month, week after week, year after year, sit and hear a sermon and you're like, oh, it's the most boring 45 minutes I've ever heard. I don't get anything out of it. It's because there's something in your heart that hasn't shifted to a relationship with Jesus. Because if you are in a relationship with Jesus and the word of God is preached accurately, God will speak to your heart in such a way where you say, that's me, that's me, that's me. And denying yourself, can I just tell you this? It's not a one-time thing. I got married 15 years ago. I denied myself that first week. I already did that. No, it's a moment by moment, day by day, minute by minute, hour by hour, denying myself. Think about those places in your life where you get frustrated, angry, maybe you're paralyzed in it, because this keeps happening. This keeps happening. There's probably an area in your life where you're not denying yourself. There's probably an area in your life where you're saying, I'm wanting it to go this way. I've been praying about this for 30 years. It's still not happening. There are times where you need to pray about things for 30 years that still haven't happened, and God's telling you, hold on to that. I'm going to bring it forth. There's other times that you could have stopped praying for it 30 years ago because God told you, I'm not going to answer that. If you're dating someone in here and God told you, don't marry them, he ain't changing his mind. Break up, move on. It saves so much time, right? If God told you, I'm not giving you that job, don't send in your resume. It saves so much time. Sometimes we want certain outcomes, so we're going to go through the steps, and then we'll, God, I heard you say no, but I'm just going to, we'll see what happens here, and I'm going to pray about it. He ain't changing his mind. When you deny yourself and say, God, I'm not going to concern myself with the outcome here. This may not even be what I want. This may not even be what I think I desire, but I'm sensing this is what you want from me. I'll do it. Now, some of you in here, I've already told you, you're not believers in Christ because you've never submitted to the lordship of Jesus Christ. You're just going through religious motions, right? But some of you in here have definitely responded to the gospel. You said, I want Jesus Christ to be my Lord. But what happens and the reason that you're stunted in your growth or you're in a rut and the tires are spinning and you're not going anywhere is because the Lord has spoken to you clearly about an area of your life that he wants you to deny yourself in. And you're like, why do I have to do that? Why don't they have to do that? Amen. That's not that big of a deal. And here's what we tend to do. Do you know God can speak to you about any area of your life in anything? Yep. And again, church, listen to me. This is really, really important. Because it's not church that's making disciples, it's individuals in the church that are making disciples, and so therefore God's gonna call you to do different things differently than everybody sitting next to you. See, we want rules. Pastor, tell us, can we drink or not drink? And then I'll tell you whether I agree with you and come to this church again. Pastor, tell me, can we celebrate Halloween or not? And you tell me and I'll see if I agree with you and I don't know if I come to this church again. Hey, Pastor, tell me which version of the Bible you preach from. Pastor, tell me, I want to know the rules, if they agree with what I think the rules should be, and then we'll form a great community. That's not discipleship. Discipleship is God telling you what you need to do, which means some of you will hear something like this. I don't want you to have cable anymore in your house. What? Well, how come they can have cable? Because they can. Hey, I don't want you to drink anymore. What? It's not wrong to drink. How come they can drink? Doesn't matter what they can do. What is that to you? I told you not to drink. I don't want you to hang out with those people anymore. Well, why not? They're great people. Because it's not growing what I want to grow in you. I mean, individually, God is calling us all the time, if we're sensitive, to make little incremental choices to continue to deny ourselves. If you say in that instance, as a disciple of Jesus, I'm not listening to that one. I'm not doing that one. Understand this. God is way more patient than you. Well, I'm not getting rid of that. I'm not doing that. He'll talk to you about it for the next 60 years. And you wonder why he's not talking to you about other things is because this thing is hindering where he's trying to take you. And the beauty of the gospel is that even if you know that Jesus is Lord and there's an area in your life that you've been struggling with and you haven't turned over to him, at any moment in time when you shift to the relationship with Christ and say, Jesus, I surrender, I'm done holding on to that. Would you come take care of this? There's joy in that moment where he continues to come and grow you. And so as a disciple in Christ, there should always be ongoing moments. They don't happen every day. Sometimes they don't even happen every month. But they're seasonal where they come in and he says, this is what I want you to change right now. This is something I want you to stop doing. Hey, this is something I want you to start doing. Hey, you're doing it, but I want you to do it a little differently than what you were doing before. That should be ongoing in our life at all the time. And what we tend to do is we tend to ask questions like this. Who else is doing that? If this is really of God, then there has to be like 20 other people in our church that are doing it. And if it's not, I'm not going to. It doesn't matter what anybody else is doing. Are you willing to deny yourself for the lordship of Christ? And it'll be unique to you. But when you do it, you will feel the joy of Christ in your life saying, hey, thanks for letting me have that. The key word is deny. Deny. It literally means in the Greek to repudiate yourself. And in our world of self-esteem and all the different things that we have about self, it flies against that. And Jesus is saying, anyone who wants to come after me, hey, here's step number one. You're surrendering to my lordship. So here's what I'm asking you to do. I need you to be about me. I need you to do it my way. Well, how do I know what God's way is? Can I just tell you? About 95%+ of everything God's way is right in this book. Now, yeah, there are things that God can speak to you about, and the closer you get to God's heart and the more you know him, the more you recognize his voice, the more you see how it aligns with scripture, and there are subjective ways that God still talks to us today. I believe he's alive. That's why he still talks. But oftentimes, if you just look in the word and say, well, what does God say about that? He has answers for those things. And so by denying ourselves, with our key word denying, we're getting ready to do the next thing. Notice what he says next, and take up his cross. That means I'm choosing to remain ready to suffer. Ready to suffer. Now, if you're trying to start a worldwide movement and you're inviting people in, most of the time you don't say, hey, it's not about you and you need to be ready to suffer and die. Okay? But that's exactly what Jesus says. He says up front, this is what it's going to be. It means we need to be ready to suffer. Now, everybody in the first century would have known what taking up his cross meant. Notice what it says. Jesus doesn't say, I'm going to pick up your cross for you. He says, you're going to pick up your own cross. Well, picking up your cross literally meant this. Crucifixion was the worst capital punishment perhaps ever invented, certainly was in Rome. We don't crucify people anymore because of the gruesome torture that goes along with it. It's not an immediate death where you die within a minute or two. I mean, you're going to suffer greatly for hours at a time. And even before you get put on the cross, you're going to be beat significantly before you even get there. So when it meant to take up your cross, everybody in the first century would have understood this. It meant that an individual who once had publicly rebelled against a known law in Rome that was punishable by capital death, was now submitting to the authority that they had once rebelled against and doing that publicly in the town. It meant when Jesus was carrying his cross, it was Rome's way of saying, he rebelled against us, now he's submitting to our authority. To take up your own cross means this, you're gonna suffer for Jesus. I mean, I'd love to tell you that, hey, if you trust Jesus, he's going to give you more money, more happiness, more wealth, more pleasure. It's just going to be great and giggles all the time. There are moments like that. And God is a great God, and God does bless us, and God does do good. But guess what? If you follow Jesus, you'll suffer. And let me tell you why you'll suffer. You're going to suffer because you have lived your life prior to knowing Christ in a worldly system. All of us have done it. And there are certain things that get championed by our world that aren't championed by Jesus Christ. And when you begin to make him Lord, here's what he's saying. Are you willing to put my cross on your back over every area in your life? And are you willing to go public with that so that everybody knows the reason you no longer do that and the reason you started doing that or the reason you do that differently is because you're now under my authority? That's what Jesus is saying. It's choosing to be willing to suffer all the way to my death because that's where crucifixion ended. Crucifixion ended in a death. Now, let me tell you something. I can tell you I'm pretty good authority, although I've never experienced death personally. I can tell you I'm pretty good authority. People that die don't care about what goes on in this world. There's nobody who's died that's wondering who's going to win the next election. There's nobody that's died that's wondering about what news in the newspaper and how it affects them. They're dead, right? That's why Paul says in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, for I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Here's what Paul was saying. Jesus invited me to die. Let me tell you something. I already have. When I trusted in him, he has full allegiance over every area of my life. That's why when Paul was, you know, hey, Paul, we're going to hurt you. Hey, Paul, we're going to kill you. He's like, okay, I'm already dead. What are you going to do? What difference does that make to me? For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. That's the goal of my faith. I want to be with Jesus. Here's the truth. Believer in Jesus Christ. If you've denied yourself, then the key word here is die. Are you willing to die to everything that you would have for this world to offer you for the sake of letting Jesus' allegiance live through your life? And if you're willing to do that, then you don't care so much about outcomes anymore. You're not trying to control them anymore. You're not trying to tell God, oh, you better do this for me, because what? Your relationship with him and what he wants is more important than what you desire. And so I'm dying, not because I'm saying, oh, I don't care anymore. I'm dying to myself because of the love that one has for me. And the truth is, he loves us so much, he gave his own life for us and wants to live that life through us. And that's what it means. And Jesus is willing to do all the things that he promised to do in your life. But here's the truth. He wants to have full reign. He wants to do it. Did you ever wonder why Jesus picked the followers he picked? I mean, if you study through the New Testament, I mean, you would never pick those guys. You have a swearing blue-collar fisherman that's like your lead agent, right? You got a guy that doubts every single thing that you do. You got Matthew, who's basically a white-collar criminal, but being supported by the government to do it. You got Simon, who's a zealot, who wants to kill anybody that's a non-Jew on sight. I mean, you got all this ragamuffin, ragtag. Like, why pick those guys? And by the way, the reason he picked them is because they didn't have a rabbi. Anybody worth having a rabbi would have gone and followed somebody else. So why did he pick these guys? Because he knew, having the heart of God, that these are men that will deny themselves and take up their cross for me all the way to their death, and that's what I need. I need people that will live this thing out so that I can live through them. I don't need talent. Did you know Jesus isn't looking for your talent? I mean, I listen to people sometimes, if we could get so-and-so saved, if they just got saved and on fire, that would change the world. No, it would change their sphere of influence, but wouldn't change the world. Jesus changes the world. All Jesus needs is you to live your best you, and you can change the world. Jesus picked his disciples because he knew that they would do that for him. If you're saved, Jesus chose you for the same reason. He's got a sphere of influence in your life that he's pouring through to accomplish something in the kingdom that only you can accomplish. That's the whole point. But he needs you to give him allegiance. Let me give you an example. A year and a half ago, I had surgery on my vocal cords. I've had a couple operations in my life, and it usually functions like this prior to going into the operating room. They have you change into a robe that doesn't cover anything, and then put you under a blanket that's not warm, and then wheel you into an operating room with an IV in your arm. It's super cold, and there's all these doctors standing around you. It's uncomfortable. There's lights everywhere. And inevitably, a doctor will come, kind of place his hand on your arm where it's about time to go, and I'll ask a question, something like this. Hey, just let me know, you know, about how long will it be until and then I wake up in recovery. Because you know what they do in every operation? They put you to sleep. Do you know why? Because they don't need your help. They don't need you asking questions. They don't need your commentary. They don't need you sure you know what you're doing. They need you out so that they who are skilled to do what they're called to do can do it. Can I tell you that that's the shift of being a disciple? The shift is allowing Jesus to do through you what you couldn't do by yourself. And if you're not willing to deny yourself and take up your cross, he can't come in and give allegiance and do what he wants to do.
You're listening to Brave with Jeff Schwarzentraub. Today's message is called Selfishness to Surrendered. And we'll have the final part of this sermon on tomorrow's program, so don't miss that one. We're in a study Pastor Jeff has entitled Disciple Shift. And if you'd like to revisit any of these messages, you'll find them at our website, bravemedia.online. As Pastor Jeff illustrated today, trying to control our lives is about as smart as trying to do our own heart surgery. I think we can all agree, surgery is best left to the professionals. In a similar way, God is the only one qualified to direct our lives. But first, we got to be willing to let go and surrender our lives to the one who can be trusted, the one who loves us and gave his life for us. Right now, we'd like to invite you to help us equip other listeners with these biblical lessons and make their own disciple shift by making a donation of any size to support Brave. We're so grateful for fellow believers like you willing to give what they can to help bring solid biblical teaching to new communities across the nation. To give your gift today, visit bravemedia.online and click the Donate tab. Again, that's bravemedia.online or call us at 360-552-7283. That's 360-552-7283. Before we wrap up, I'd like to invite you to join us for weekend services here at Brave Church. Visit us in person at any of our campuses, Englewood, Westminster, and our newest location in Colorado Springs. No matter where you listen from, you can join us right here from home through our weekend live stream. visit bravemedia.online, scroll down, and click the Brave Church link at the bottom for details and directions. And if you have a question or comment, maybe a testimony to share with Pastor Jeff, click the Email Us tab to go ahead and do that. Again, it's right on our homepage. Now, tomorrow, Pastor Jeff will conclude this message on how to make the shift from being selfish to surrendered through Christ. I'm your host, Bill Carl, and I'll see you then, right here on Brave with Jeff Swarzentraw. Today's program was produced and furnished by Brave Church in Denver, Colorado.